Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Amen. Do you guys have a good day today? Yeah. Anybody have a little fun? Yeah? I'm curious, anybody in the house go off the blob this afternoon? Go off the blob? Yeah? Yeah? How about this? Anybody in the house get a little bit sunburned from your tanning class? Or otherwise? Anybody in tanning class, you got a little sunburned or otherwise got a little sunburned? Okay? Hey, you got to use that sunscreen, people. Come on, sunscreen. How about this? Anybody play slam ball? Anybody get some slam ball going? One person. That's great. Love that. Any cool forts being made this afternoon? Forts. Okay. All right. I love it. Hey, fun day. It was fun being able to watch you do your thing again. I love that. Some memorable moments made, I'm sure. Hey, does anybody have a chance, and just by show of hands or cheer, whatever, to look back at what we talked about this morning and do some of that homework yet? Anybody do a little bit of that work, the inner work, okay, some interpersonal work? Hey, you still have time, okay? This week, I want you to look back at what we talked about this morning, those questions that we asked you to wrestle with, and even some of the homework, the action steps that might need to be taken even after this morning's session. We're going to go into tonight here. I want to get into where we're going because we're going to finish up chapter 2 of James. Before we do that, curious if you have questions for me in the audience tonight. Are there any other questions to get to know me? Again, out of being able to be someone that you know, you're getting to know a little bit, you understand me a little bit better, you can listen and maybe trust me a little bit more, I want to give you that opportunity. So let's go right here. Orange shirt, yeah. Do I love junk food? Rachel, do I love junk food? I do love junk food. I'm a big junk food guy. We've got candy all the time at home on stash, and it's been bad because my daughter, Sayla, has started to get the sweet tooth as well. So it's good. We'll go right here in the front.
Why is your hair different from all your old pictures?
Why is my hair different from all my old pictures? That's a great question, because sometimes when you're a youth pastor, you do really stupid things for kids, because that's the reason why I do things. So my high school pastor and I decided that for our summer kickoff this summer, we were going to just go ahead and do something crazy and dye our hair. So, fun story, we dyed our hair. It looks completely different, the two of us. His is like bright yellow, and it's really funny because it looks ridiculous. But mine, when we did it, it looked yellow, but then we did this toner thing. There was someone really smart that told us, hey, you got to really tone that down because that looks crazy. So we did this toner thing, brought it down to kind of where it's at now. I think it looks somewhat realistic, right? It looks somewhat natural. It's not. I promise you it's not. But that's where the hair came in. So we decided to do something silly because we're youth pastors, because we like to have fun with kids, and because people ask questions about it, right? That's why, because we get to answer questions all the time about it. I saw your hand first. I'm going to come all the way back in the back to answer yours. Ooh. Favorite sports team. I can tell you it's not who you're wearing. My favorite sports team. So I'm a Penn State football fan. Any Penn State football fans in the house? Okay. All right. Fair enough. But I'm a Penn State football fan. We're Pittsburgh Steelers fans in the NFL. But I'm an IU basketball fan because I live in Indiana, so you have to be Indiana. I don't really follow baseball. The Cardinals, for sure. Yeah, Cardinals. So those are my teams. Yeah, Phoenix Suns. We like the Suns because my family out in Arizona. Oh, okay. If you got a Suns fan out there, nice. So those are my favorite teams. So there you go. Those are your three questions. Keep them up. Keep thinking about them. Ask me in person if you need to. But hopefully that gives you a little bit of an understanding of who I am. Again, as we keep going along, because I'm asking you questions, I expect you to answer my questions, I should be doing the same for you, right? So that's what I want to be able to do. So I get to ask you a question now. I'm curious, and I want to see as many hands as I just saw questions for me come up to answer this question. Where did you see God today? So where did you see God at work today? In what ways, or in what areas, and what experiences, and what people, and where did you see God at work today? Or where did you notice him moving today? Yeah. That's awesome. And you're one-on-one when your cabin leader prayed for you? Is that what you said? Yeah, when she was talking to you, he prayed for you. That's awesome. Yeah, right here.
When I went on the blob.
When you went on the blob. Because you had to be brave for that, right? And that's awesome. That's great. Yeah.
All humans, all humans,
Oh, in the game? Okay, cool. That's great. Yes. Oh, Hudson, way to go. I took him to urgent care. I love it. Well done, Red Robin. Love that. And good news back. It was just a sprain, right? Is what we heard? Okay, so we're happy that Kale's back with us. That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Where else? Where do you see God at work today? Where have you seen him move? Where have you seen him in creation? Whatever it might be, where have you seen him? Nice. Bravery when you were on the tube and you fell off and you feel like, I'd be done and I wouldn't be able to go again, but you felt like the bravery came in. That's courage from the Lord. That's great.
Tubing.
All right. Awesome. I love it. A few more. You got one?
When I had my one-on-one.
You're one-on-one with Mr. Alex here? Love that. Good job. One-on-one. Always a great time. I'm glad that you're able to see the Lord in those conversations. Yeah. Oh, sportsmanship during games. That's really cool when you see that happen. That's great. Yeah.
When he came back from where he went.
Friends. Good. That's great. Let's go. A couple more. Just a couple more right here.
When he didn't drown,
praise the Lord, during tubing. I'm glad God showed up in that way. Let's go. Last one right here. Yes. Nice. Great. That's awesome. I love that. Hey, keep watching. Keep looking for where God is, because I promise you, if you look, you will find him. You will see him, right? And he's at work, I believe, very much so, in this camp and in this week. I'm excited to continue to see you be challenged to look around and see him. Watch him in your interactions. Watch him in other people. See him show up in creation. As you look out, I mean, the one thing that I always do in creation is where I see God most often, right? When you see him and what he's done and how he's created things and how things work, how cool is it? And we get to see him in those ways as well. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for sharing that. I know there were others as well. So great job. Keep those up. We're going to keep asking you each night. So be thinking about where you saw him during that day. I've got a question for us as we start out tonight as well. I want to start out with a question. I want to hear from you. What are some things that just go together? They just go together, okay? So, like, for example, just peanut butter and jelly. Like, they just go together. You can't really have, I mean, you can have one without the other, but it's just wrong. You can't have blank without blank. They just go together. What are some things that just go together right here?
Batman and Joker.
This dude is all about Batman. Batman and Joker, okay? You can't have, okay, Batman and Joker, yeah.
Peanuts and gum?
That's a hot take. I don't know if I've ever heard that one before. Yeah, right here. God and Jesus. Okay. All right. Okay. We're going there. Yeah. Yeah, right here.
Coffee with creamer.
They just go together. How about this? 4th of July and fireworks, right? You can't have 4th of July without fireworks. Yeah. Well, what else? Where else we got? Right here.
Hamburger and fries.
They just go together. Yeah, right there.
Chips and sour cream? What is happening in this camp right now?
Peanuts and gum, chips and sour cream. Yeah, right here.
Ketchup and mustard.
There you go. They go together. What's another one? Right here.
Mayo and ketchup and orange juice under a hot dog.
All right. Now you're just making things up. That's crazy. Anything else? What do I got? I got popcorn and movies, right? You can't go to the movies and not get the awesome popcorn that's there. Even though movies are kind of extinct at this point, which is sad. Christmas and a Christmas tree. March and March Madness. March and basketball. Anybody else in the house? Yeah. Right here? Cookies and cream. Okay. I like it. Yeah. Oh, your left shoe and your right shoe. Please don't go with one without the other. That's good. One shoe, the other shoe. That's good. There's a lot of them out there. I know. I couldn't get to all of you. I'm sorry. All right, on the count of three, I want you to say yours that you have in your brain right now so you can get it out. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I love it. All right, I love it. Great job. All right, I've got one more for you, and it's where we're going tonight, okay, in our James chapter. I've got one more for you. One thing. You can't have blank without the other. You can't have faith without deeds. They just go together, right? You can't have faith without deeds. And so we're going to look at that because we're going to check in And what James has to say about faith and deeds, we're going to check in and see what he challenges us with tonight as we open God's Word and we read from James and talk about this idea of faith and deeds. Before we do that, if you want to open up to James chapter 2, we're going to finish chapter 2. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us as we open up God's Word together. Let's pray. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for an opportunity once again to be here in this place. I pray right now that you would soften hearts. I pray that you would open minds and open hearts to what it is that you have to share with us tonight. Would your words be shared? No more, no less. God, I pray that right now in this place, your Spirit would move and would be present. I pray that you would be very clear in action steps that we need to take based on tonight. And would everything that's done and said be glorifying and honoring to you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So again, we're in James chapter 2. We're going to go into God's Word together, so turn with me to James chapter 2. We're in the second half of James chapter 2. We started it this morning. We're going to go ahead and end it tonight. We'll get your notes ready, get your pens ready once again, because it's packed full of powerful, challenging stuff in here for us to digest together. So we're going to dive right in. Chapter 2, verse 14, titled Faith and Deeds. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by an action, is dead. See, there's an important distinction we need to make from the very beginning parts of this passage, right? The distinction is this. There's some things that we need to know what James is saying, and there's some things that we need to know that James is not saying, okay, by this faith, deeds, work idea, okay? First off, James is not saying that deeds and good works are what saves a person, okay? I want you to get that right off the bat. James is not telling you, hey, good deeds and those things are what save you. Good works are what save you. As you might know, there are certain sectors, religious out there, that there are certain people who believe that if you just do good enough, if you do enough good things, you're a good enough person, you'll get where you want to go, right? You'll get into heaven. You'll be able to do the eternal life thing, okay? That's not what James is saying. James is not saying that good works will save you or that good works is more important than having faith in Jesus Christ. That's not what James is saying. What James is saying is that faith in Jesus Christ is still the only thing that saves a person. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that saves a person. What James is saying is that faith in Jesus Christ should lead us, though. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, it should lead us into the good works and the good deeds that he's talking about here. See, the basis of salvation is grace alone through faith. Grace alone through faith. And that's what's talked about in Ephesians as well. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, Ephesians and James are not going against each other. They're actually saying the same thing, but James just wants to remind us, hey, there is a need, there is an importance, there is a reason why good deeds are there. Okay, it's the same thing with my wife, right? Rachel and I believe wholeheartedly that my wife loves me, right? I do. And she tells me that she loves me a lot, which is great, and I love that, and I need that. But the ways that she shows me that she loves me each day is what truly helps signal her love for me. And it helps me fully believe and trust that that love is there. It's the actions, it's the deeds, it's the workings that make the love and the words come real, right? And so that's the same way with that. But hearing about Jesus and having a faith in the Lord will lead you to doing good works. It should, right? It should. Like we talked about before, hearing what Jesus has done for us, the magnitude of what we deserved and what we now have based on what Jesus alone has done for us should lead us into action. Out of the overflow of the thankfulness and the overwhelming feeling that we have, we should be led and pushed and driven to act on the faith that we also have, right? Another thing that James says that you can see faith, you can see a faith by someone's fruit, right? Anybody like fruit in the house? Oh, okay, all right. Now, I'm not talking apples, oranges, bananas. I'm not talking all those great yummy fruits, right? I'm talking Galatians. Shh, Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits that when you see those signal that there's faith, right? When we see some of those, by the fruit of what your life gives, you can see a faith, right? And deeds, again, we're talking about this. Deeds don't get you into heaven, but they do act like a sort of signal into what's going on the inside, that the faith that's there, right? It doesn't get you into heaven, but of course, it's not the only signal, because as we all know, all people do good things once in a while, right? It's just no matter what you believe or what your heart's saying or what your heart's doing, all people at some point do something good, right? Do something nice. But an ongoing pattern of fruit, an ongoing lifestyle of fruit and of good deeds does signal a life of change, right? And of a faith that leads to the everlasting life that we're talking about. It's a signal, kind of faith with deeds is what God is asking of us and what James is talking to. So this is what James wants us to know about faith and deeds. It's important that we know what he is saying and what he's not saying and some of the baseline knowledge. Jesus alone saves. But Jesus and what he's done for us should lead us into, the faith that we have should lead us into good deeds and actions, right? Verses 15 and 16, they go into another hypothetical story, right, that we read in James. We see that a lot in James and in Scripture overall. It's kind of a funny story, but it's true, right? Imagine if someone comes to you without clothes and without food, and one of you goes to them with plenty of food and clothing to spare. I know how much clothing you have. I know how much clothing I have and how much clothing and shoes I brought with me this week even, right? And we have the excess. But someone comes to you and says, and you can obviously tell they're without clothes and daily food. And what you say is, go in peace. I hope you find some clothes and some food to eat and to wear, right? But does nothing for them. You don't do anything for them. Which is cruel. That's kind of like a cop. It's a cop out a little bit. And you might say, wow, that would be harsh. That's true. I would never do that. I would never do that if I were in that situation. But question, have you ever had someone come to you with a need or a request of some kind? And what's the go-to response is, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Now, I want to be careful because obviously what we want to be doing is praying for one another. And we want to come alongside one another and pray with one another. But there's something about this idea of when we just say, I'll pray for you, but we actually have the ability to help and the ability to do something about the need or the request that's there. That's where this scenario or hypothetical story comes into like real life situation, right? Obviously, prayer for others is an awesome thing, but how many times, again, do we have the ability, but all we say is, I'll pray for you. On top of that, how many times do we actually say, I'll pray for you, then we actually end up forgetting to pray for that person? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand, but I can tell you, honestly, it's happened to me as well, right? But what we should be doing, no, actually help them as well. Like, if there's something that you can do or something you can give or something you can act upon, James is telling us, do that, right? Help out that person. Seek out a way to find and help and serve the needs of those around us. Verse 17 ends the section by saying that faith without works, faith without action, faith without deeds is dead, right? A very powerful imagery, right? It's dead, like deceased, like without life. And you want to show a faith that's dead? Go ahead and do that without showing any works alongside of that. So why dead? Think about it this way. Faith without action is dead because without action, it's not living. It's not an active. It's not a living. It's not a moving faith. It's not doing anything. Action is what moves. It gives life to you, and it moves a person's faith. So without those, it is as good as dead. It's not doing anything. It's not moving. It's not helping. It's not moving anything along, right? Both are necessary. Both are needed. Faith and deeds, good works. Without deeds and without action, a faith is useless. It's bearing no results. It's dead, and that's not what the Lord intended for it to be. So true Christianity, true Christ following, true belief and following in Jesus Christ shows faith through works. Faith through works. Let's read on verse 18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith with deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. Stop. Interesting. I will show you my faith by my deeds, which is good stuff, back to the Ephesians 2 passage. But verse 19, for me, as I read that at first, it kind of seemed a little randomly thrown in there. But I knew, right, and we know that Scripture is not random, and it's not randomly thrown in. So as I did some looking into it, what does that look like? Why would that be the case? Having faith is a good thing. Having that faith idea is a good thing. But even the demons believe that mentally, with their mind, and even sometimes with their being, right, that faith, with faith that God exists and there is God, right? They know that. They believe that. And they're nervous about that because they know it's coming for them. So even the demons know that. But what separates us and differentiates us and the other, as other believers and Christ followers, is our actions, is our good deeds along with the faith that we have. We know that God is there. We know that we have that faith in Him and what He's done for us and what He's doing. But we're led to action. We're moved to action as well in that case. That's what separates us. So the other question we should ask ourselves, if faith and works are separate, but also they work together in ways to further faith, right? With our faith, we have actions and they lead us to good works. In that same way, but also on the flip side, could our actions be detrimental to our faith? The ways that we move, the ways that we act, could they actually be sharing and telling a different story than what we truly think that we believe, right? Can faith and actions actually work against each other, which is a scary thought? But I would say, yeah, they can. That's why our example and the way that we live our lives as Christ followers is so important. See, if we claim to have faith in God, but our actions say something differently, we aren't being that good example and the testimony to the Lord, to those around us. So you have a faith? Good. But what are your actions? What do your examples say? Do they back up that faith that you think that you have? Or do they work against the testimony and the example that you're trying to show other people? So can we think about Jesus for just a second? We're going to think about Jesus for just a second. With all this in mind, let's think about what Jesus did while He was here on the earth. Right? He didn't come to the people who were in need and tell them, hey, I see that. I see what you're going through. I see that you're blind. I see that you have no clothes. I see that you don't have food today, the 5,000. I see you don't have food. What are we going to do? I'll pray for it. I'll pray for you, and I'll hopefully something good comes from you, right? Something comes to you. He didn't say, I'll put in a good word with Dad, right? I'll put in a good word and see what happens. It's not like Santa Claus, any of that, right? Any of that. He helped people. He helped people. Jesus had actions based off of His faith and His belief, right? He helped people, and His deeds, they followed up and they cemented the faith and the relationship with the Father that He had. Jesus is the example, right? He clothed people. He helped the needy. He multiplied food for people. He stopped for people who were in need. His faith was moved to action. He's the example for us. I'm not telling you that you're going to be able to go out and multiply food, but I'm saying look around. What are some of the needs that you can actually help? You can actually step into in that way. So let's wrap up some things here. I told you, there's a lot in this one. Okay, there's a lot in this one. I warned you, but are you guys tracking with me? You guys doing okay? Yeah? All right, let's close up. Let's finish out 20 to 26. Let's finish out chapter 2. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled, and he says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not faith alone. In the same way was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. James goes on to warn us with some harsh words, right, calling us foolish, which is not very nice, with some evidence of some people who connected their faith to action. Okay, they connected their faith to action. One of them, Abraham, example from in the faith, proved his faith through the actions in Genesis 22. Remember when he was willing to sacrifice his son that he had prayed so long for on the altar because Jesus had asked him to do, God had asked him to do so. His faith and his actions, they worked together. His faith was made complete by what he did or what he was willing to do, which is interesting. Because his faith was not complete until he did, is right, is what that would mean. If his faith was made complete by what he did and what he was going to be willing to do, that means that until that point, his faith was not necessarily made complete. And that's one of the pillars of our faith and the people who are the fathers of our faith, right? Abraham. He believed. He trusted God and he acted. And it was credited to him as righteousness, calling him God's friend. In the same way, Jesus' faith, Jesus, another the example, was shown obvious by leading to him. He was led to the cross for our sins, right? Jesus' faith was made complete by what he did as well, and in turn allowed for our faith to be made complete by our belief and by our actions as well. Jesus going to the cross as the perfect sacrifice for us, dying in our place, raising from the grave, and defeating death once and for all, paved the way for us to be able to experience a completeness in our faith. And that's what we want, right? A completeness in our faith. Make our faith complete. Verse 24 seems to pretty clearly express that a person is considered righteous by what they do in addition to just by faith alone. See, faith alone meaning more just an intellectual agreement, right? A head knowledge. I know that God is there. I know that God exists. I've seen him do some things. That's great. That's part of it, but that's what faith alone looks like. But then there has to be that. James would argue that that kind of just head knowledge is not what God's looking for. It's almost as bogus and without a genuine personal trust in Christ. What leads us into the action then is when our faith is made complete through the good deeds that he asks us and calls us to do. Being made complete, it makes me go back to the imagery that we've used before, right? The idea of it's a full grown, it's a genuine faith that's seen in good deeds and that it produces. The last example, Rahab. Anybody ever heard the story of Rahab? Some of us, not as many, right? Rahab, the prostitute from Joshua 2. Even Rahab was considered righteous because of her faith, which led to action and good deed in what she did. See, Rahab was a prostitute, so she wasn't making the greatest of life choices, right? It seems to show that anyone can have this play out for them in their faith as well. I think that's what James does purposely. He partners Abraham, a pillar of our faith, a pillar and a man who is known to be a celebrity in the faith, with Rahab, a lowly person, lowly position, living in sin, to show that both were considered righteous based on what they did, the actions they took based on their faith. You don't have to be an Abraham. And even the Rahabs can experience this for themselves. The body without the spirit is dead. We know that, right? We've seen that happen. We've seen coffins. We've seen people that we've loved pass to the other side. And we know that that's what happens. The body without the spirit is dead, as is faith without deeds is dead. The same idea. Again, the imagery there is harsh. The imagery is tough. A body that doesn't have a spirit attached to it, a body in a coffin, the definition of dead, likewise, a faith without deeds, a faith without any kind of works or good deeds, the same, dead, in James' opinion, and what we believe. Faith and deeds are important to have together because they should naturally follow. That's the thing. They should naturally follow each other. If we have a genuine faith that's being made towards completion, it should lead to good deeds. We should be led to and pushed into and directed into, driven into good deeds. They should follow one another. See, the things that we do in our life will prove what we believe. That's a harsh reality. The things that we believe in our life, the things that we do in our life are going to prove what we believe. That a person who truly has faith in Jesus, that puts that faith into action, and their faith bears fruit in their life, that's a fully complete and moving towards Jesus kind of Christ follower. Faith is not just knowing the right thing. It involves acting on a belief as well. Faith and deeds, they just go together, right? So as we close tonight, I want to do some things, and we have some time, which I'm glad, I'm happy for. Tonight, we're going to close in this way. I've got some things for us to wrestle with tonight as we wrap up and move into the response time before we dive into some discussions together. I want us to listen to a song together. I think we have the song in the back, hopefully ready to be queued up. There's a song that has gripped me since I was in your seat, not here at this place, but your seat, middle school age, at our home church camp. There's a song that I heard for the first time. It's a powerful song. The song is called God of Justice, and it includes the line, "Keep us from just singing, move us into action, we must go." So I want that to sing over us. I want that to be played over us. I want us to listen to the words of that song and use that as a prayer. Eventually, if we can get to the point where that's a prayer and a praise and a proclaiming out of ourself, out of our hearts tonight, I want to listen to that and be challenged by the words. And I want you to think about and journal a little bit of the following. So there are going to be some questions on the screen again for you to wrestle with and think through as we wrap up this time together. The first one is, what is your life and what do your actions reveal that you believe? Again, remember, our lives and what we do and how we act are going to, that shares with other people. That tells other people what we believe. So what does your life and what do your actions reveal that you believe? Is it a good example? And does it work with the faith that you have? Or are your deeds or your works or the way that you act, are they working against the testimony you're trying to give as a Christ follower? In what areas of your life do you need to put this into action? Do you need your faith put into action? In what ways can we show our faith to people, maybe even without using words, because that's a different thing, but with actions, the way that we act and the way that we have good deeds, okay? In what ways did your faith personally need to be put into action? And lastly, this is a little more practical, and this would be a challenge I would issue you tonight and this week. What's one thing that you can do tonight or tomorrow during the day to actually physically serve someone? So I'm going to challenge you with that. That challenge is issued. What's one way that you can physically serve someone, like practically, like in this place, this tonight, tomorrow? And I'm going to ask you. I'm going to come back tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we're going to ask the question, what are some ways that you physically shared and physically served someone? In what ways were your deeds matching your faith? In what ways were you led to act based on the faith that you have and the beliefs that you have? So I'm going to challenge you. We're going to be ready to share that tomorrow, because I'm going to ask you tomorrow night in what ways you were able to do so and what that made you feel and what that did for you. Okay, so we're going to respond. We're going to listen to that song, and then we're going to actually let you have some time to respond as you're listening to some of these thoughts in your journal. And I'm going to come back up and we'll dismiss into our cabin groups to be able to have some conversation based around that. Cool. So let me pray for us, and then we'll respond, and then we'll close out. Father, thanks for tonight. I pray now in this place, would you just move? Would your spirit be free and allowed just to work and to move? Would hearts be open? Would we be ready to respond? God, I pray in this moment we would be starting to think about ways that maybe our example or our deeds, the way that we live our life, our actions, they might not match up with what the faith is that we say or testify that we believe. Would that be convicting to us? I pray that we'd also be encouraged that we can have a complete faith when we partner our faith with action. I pray in this place we start to think about what are some of the practical ways that we can serve one another. What are the things that we can be doing to show and put our faith into action? Would you challenge us? Would you give us direction, ideas, examples, all the things that we can just be challenged with tonight and work towards putting into action our faith? God, give us this time as we respond to you. We give this to you. Would we give you our best? Just you and us alone, being able to journal, being able to think about, being able to hear from you. And even the words that are sung over us, would it just be a challenge to that words, that our faith is not just enough, but we want to be moved to action. We just need to go. We need to be pushed and directed towards what it is that you want us to do tonight. We give you this time. Would we respond accordingly to the way that you're calling us to? It's your name we pray. Amen. As we close, hey, listen up. Hey, we'll challenge you out of love. When I give response, when we give response time, like that is for you to respond to the Lord, and that's like time for you and the Lord together. So, out of love, again, like I hope that you use that. I hope that as we continue that, because I want to do that, because we need response time from what we've heard and be able to respond with. So, I challenge you to step up in that a little bit and say, hey, I'm spending this time with the Lord between myself and the Lord, and so I don't need other distractions. I don't need to talk with anyone else in that way. So for future, if we have response time, that's between you and the Lord, and so I hope that you're giving him your best in that. But what I would want for you to do tonight as you leave this place, okay, again, be thinking about what are ways in our cabin groups, in our cabin discussions, how can we discuss, how can we give opportunities and ways where we need and talk in depth about where we need to be moving to action with our faith and taking that next step. And then I hope you're thinking about ways that you can physically, practically serve someone this week, because that's what I want to challenge you with, and that's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to bring back that question tomorrow night. You guys are awesome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your attention. Thanks for your focus and diving in with us. And James chapter 2 is in the books. Go have discussions, dive in with your groups, allow the questions to be asked and answered. You guys are great.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.